Good morning. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Have you ever heard the term the Great Commission? This is the Great Commission. This is where Jesus instructed the disciples to go out and preach and teach all nations whatever I have commanded you. Whatever Jesus Christ has commanded them. Go. They are to go to all nations, both Jew and Gentiles, and make disciples of them. A disciple is from the word M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S, the Greek, mathetes. One who follows a teacher. One who follows a teaching. One who follows a teaching. Make disciples of all nations, both Jew and Gentile. Baptizing them. One baptism. One baptism. One Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit. Teaching them everything I have commanded you. One baptism, one word, one teacher, one. The Great Commission. The apostles were told to go out and make Christians. Right? Go out and make me some Christians. That's our invitation, folks. Our invitation to be united in the family of God. One. It makes us brothers and sisters. United, unified in the church. 17th chapter of John, verses 20 and 21. It's interesting that Marty brought that up, that Jesus prayed for us. He did. On the night before he was betrayed, he prayed for us. And he said, I pray also for all those who believe in me through their message. And then he said that all of them may be one. I pray also for those who believe in me, us, the new Christians, through their message, the apostles' message, what Jesus commanded them in the 28th chapter of Matthew, that all of them, us, Christians, new disciples, may be one. That all of them may be one. We are to be united as the family of God. We are to be one as brothers and sisters in that family. One teacher, one word, one baptism, one church. Unity. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye were called, are called. With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above you all and through you all and in you all. One body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. One. And it says to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. and to do it with all lowliness, meekness, and long suffering, and forbearance in love. The Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, were newly converted. And Paul tells them over and over again to walk as children of light. Put away the things you had before. Live a new life. Consider a young married couple. And we've had a few of them here lately. New life, isn't it? It's a new life. Their relationship is going to develop. And it should. It should have to develop. They're going to move along in this marriage, and they're going to move along in their relationship, and they have to be close. They have to know each other. They have to have common goals. They have to accept each other, knowing that neither is without fault. If they only dwell on the faults of each other, if they only complain and find fault, how will that love ever grow? Same way in the church, isn't it? Our relationships in the church, our knowledge of the scriptures, our Christianity is constantly developing, constantly growing, constantly reaching a new level. In the fourth chapter of 1 John, we're told as a body to love one another. In the fifth chapter of James, we're told to pray for one another. We have to work hard to make this relationship succeed. Just like in a marriage. It takes both parties. Both parties have to work, and both parties have to give their best effort. We need to be one in heart and mind. Our goal, just as that of a husband and wife, is to help each other get to heaven. We're here to help each other. The scripture says to love one another. The scripture says to exhort one another. The scripture says to edify one another. The scripture says to pray for one another. But as with humans, we have disagreements, do we not? We have arguments, we have conflict, each demanding their own way, sacrificing love, peace, and unity. Remember the lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance in love? That would be the second verse of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. We pretty much of all the times I read the book of Ephesians, I like the book of Ephesians. And I read it a lot. If I were to pick, I kind of stay away from picking my favorites, but if I were to pick a favorite book, it'd probably be either that or James. But I like the book of Ephesians, and I read it a lot, and I've read this verse many times, and I never really dwelt to any extent on the word forbearance. We've got lowliness, we've got meekness, we've got long-suffering. We pretty much know that, don't we? What's forbearance? Anybody know what forbearance is? Pardon?
Tolerating.
Good. Endurance. That's one of the definitions, endure. To forbear is to endure. One of the dictionary definitions I really like, and it goes like this. To be patient or self-controlled when subject to annoyance or provocation. To be patient or self-controlled when subject to annoyance or provocation. How hard is that? Meekness comes in here, doesn't it? Meekness. You learn something every time you study the scriptures. I think I learned something here. Meekness. We seem to forget about that a lot. Have you noticed that? In the workplace, in the world, and even in the church, We seem to forget about meekness. We always want to be right. It's his fault, not mine. He irritated me. Not my fault. But what do the scriptures say? Blessed are the meek. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And our perfect example, Jesus Christ said, I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 says, suffer yourselves to be defrauded. Take the wrong. Resolve the difference. Remember lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearance. That's the first three verses of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Those things go a long way in being one in the family of God. In that fourth chapter, Paul goes on to mention one body. The church. Fellow heirs in heaven. We are the church. We are fellow heirs of heaven. And we need to help each other get there. Our own differences should not cause dissension and also should not discourage those who are weaker in the faith. We should act with brotherly love regardless of our rank or station in life as members of one body because we are a great brotherhood on earth. Are we not? Isn't the church a great brotherhood? We are one in plan, one in purpose, and one in feeling for each other. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks of one body made up of many parts, fitly joined together. We need to fitly join together as one body. Paul also talks of one spirit. Give me one word to describe a body without a spirit. Dead. Right? Body without a spirit is dead. The church without the Holy Spirit is dead. There is one body, Christ's church. There is one spirit, the Holy Spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 says not to do what? Quench it. Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. In John 16 and 13, Jesus tells the apostles that the Spirit will guide them into all truth. Acts 2 and 3 says they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit. And the apostles were told to go out and make new Christians and tell them what Jesus commanded them. And the Spirit gave them utterance. Of all the scripture that you've read, how much do you remember? Probably pretty little compared to all this. Of all the things that Jesus Christ told the apostles, how much do you think they remembered? Keep in mind, these people, they're human beings. You think they remembered half of it? Quarter of it? Three quarters of it? But what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit fell upon them. You think they understood then? I do. I think that's when the apostles understood what Jesus was all about and what it was they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to say it. And it says in Acts 2 and 3, the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit. The Word. We need to be strong and we need to be unified in that Holy Spirit, not putting out its fire. Paul talks of one hope of your calling. What's the hope of our calling? Eternal life in heaven? I'd say that's what it is. We are called to be united together in heaven, to share our love and our existence forever throughout eternity in that place. Why should we not try doing that here? We should realize the importance of being united in love for each other and united in the Word of God and united in our struggle to get to heaven while we're here on earth. I had an eighth grade teacher. I was 13 years old. And yes, that's been 48 years ago. And I remember her saying, if you don't enjoy worshiping God on earth, how are you going to enjoy it in heaven? I remember that. We can't get along with fellow Christians here on earth. How can we get along in heaven? We compete in the world, don't we? That competition's ingrained in us. There can only be one king. There can only be one president. There can only be one CEO. One highest paying job. Only one prize. So we compete, don't we? But there's no room for competition in the church, and there are those who make it a competition. There are those who make it a popularity contest, for instance. Church isn't a popularity contest. You have to be kind, loving, and that makes you likable. And I agree with that. But in the book of Ephesians, it says there's a time for reproof. Does it not? Have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them? Does reproof make you popular? Nope. Nope. Reproof doesn't. Do you think Jesus was popular when he overthrew the money changers? You think the Pharisees thought he was a pretty not good guy when he called them whitewashed walls, a brood of vipers, full of dead men's bones? Was Jesus trying to win a popularity contest when he rebuked Peter? What was he trying to do? Trying to do what was right. Trying to make sure the Word of God was correct in the minds of men. The church is not about who is the most popular. It's not about who's the best teacher, best preacher, best song leader, etc., etc. There's no room for jealousy in the church. There's no room for competition. And if you're sitting there thinking about 1 Corinthians 9th chapter where Paul talks about running the race and obtaining the prize, which some of you maybe are, he says to run as if you were the only one to reach the prize, not because you're the only one that's going to reach the prize. There's room for us all in heaven. I hope we all know the context of that verse. We shouldn't be competing with each other. We should be helping each other. We should be encouraging each other. We should be loving each other. Paul talks about one Lord. One Lord. One way to God. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ. One Lord. He wants us to be united in our love. He wants us to be one. We fight Satan, not each other. We fight Satan, the enemy of our souls, who loves to have us fighting and quarreling among each other. Because when that happens, he's winning. We have one Lord, Jesus Christ, the head of our body, who prayed in his darkest hour that we be one. How could we do anything but our best to obey him? Paul talks about one faith. Hebrews 11th chapter, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A living faith. A faith that we have that gives us the knowledge that our hope of eternal life will not be taken away. We've talked about promises of men. how they don't hold up. A lot of times they're taken away. Eternal life, heaven, is going to be there. God will not take it away from us. We should all have that faith. And it should compel us to obey the gospel. One baptism. One baptism. How many baptisms are talked about in the New Testament? We got baptism with water, and we've got several verses on that. Any other baptisms? Fire. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's 3rd chapter of Matthew, both of those. Baptism with fire and baptism with the Holy Spirit. 3rd chapter of Matthew. 20th chapter of Matthew mentions another baptism. Suffering. Four baptisms. Suffering, fire, Holy Spirit, and water. But Paul talks about one baptism. The baptism Paul talks about is the baptism that's commanded of sinners. The baptism of water. The baptism that cleanses sin. The baptism which is a willing act of one in need. The willing act of one who needs to obey a command in order to reach the goal. One baptism which cleanses our soul. And then he talks about one God. Isn't there unity in having one God as opposed to many? Read the Old Testament stories about those who had many gods. Caused split, caused dissension. We should have the strongest bond, the strongest union, because we have our God who created the heavens and the earth, who is in us all, above us all, through us all, whose thoughts and ways are higher than our thoughts and ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth, who is our almighty, our all-powerful creator, by whose word we will be judged. I think as we go throughout life, we seem to forget to put God in the place where He belongs. He belongs in a place of reverence, a place of worship, a place higher than us. Above all, through all, and in you all. We should be able to go out and show the world that the unity that we have as Christians, the bond that we have, is the greatest strength, because we're His temple and His Spirit dwells in us, and we ought to be one. We shouldn't merely profess to follow God and then not do His word. We shouldn't have, there's no room for hateful spite in the church. There's no room for competition, no room for jealousy, no room for dissension, grudges, and feuds. But we need to live and walk worthy of His high calling, with meekness and humility, with forgiveness and forbearance for one another, with love for one another. Because there's room in heaven for all. There's an abundance of treasures and a crown for all of us. We need to help each other work for that common goal. Because we're all travelers on the pathway to heaven. Will we help each other? Or will we hinder each other? Or will we hinder ourselves? I spoke of baptism. One baptism. One baptism with water that cleanses our soul. And we offer that opportunity every time we meet. And we'll offer that opportunity now. If you have the need to become a member of the church, to be baptized, to have your sins forgiven, or if you have any other need that needs to be addressed before the congregation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.